Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in this Sunday night, January the 28th. We continue our conversation with Pastor Brent Kuhlman on eternal rewards. Well, if you read the popular books that center around eternal rewards, and a lot of them do, not just the purpose-driven life, you get the impression that at Judgment Day, God's going to be like kind of the big CEO, the big chairman of the board. And what he's going to be doing is after reviewing everyone's work and after looking at everybody's file and talking to everybody's supervisor, he's going to be handing out the year-end bonuses and the big promotions. Now, some Christians, according to this popular view of eternal rewards, will get the big promotion, the big corner office, a bevy of secretaries at their bidding. And some Christians, most of us, like you and me, will be entry-level. Perhaps we'll be in the heavenly mailroom. On the bottom floor, maybe in the basement. But it all depends on what you've earned in this life. Now, everybody gets a place in the big business that is heaven, but some people will get the corner office. They've earned it, after all. And some people will be in the mailroom. Is that how eternal rewards works with God? Our call-in number tonight, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. You can use that email address. We get your questions and comments right here in the studio in real time, and we can respond, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He'll be one of the main speakers for this summer's Higher Things Youth Conference, and he's author of a Bible study in the Fount magazine titled Our Eternal Rewards in Jesus. Brent, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
I want to pick up right where we left off and go to a passage that I think a lot of people think has only to do with how God provides for us in this life, but it's a passage that I find quite comforting for this life and for the next, where St. Paul says, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with him, give us all things?" Is God going to be stingy in the rewards he hands out in eternity?
That's all up to him. Notice the verb that you quoted, give. And thus we're back to where we started, give. We'll just, whatever he gives, we take. And not as we've said before, not as debt. Now, I'm going to be a naughty host or a naughty guest, and I'm going to go back a little bit, and I want to talk some more about Jesus as our reward. Can I do that?
Please do.
All right, because I wanted to say more about that before we went to the break. The wonderful thing about being a Christian and being redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ is trusting in what Jesus has done for us. And now I want to show and tell the listeners some of this stuff. So I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5:14. What we have in Christ Jesus, you know, if we want to talk about Jesus as our reward, what is it that we have then? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, Paul says that, "For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all, therefore all died." So what do we have already in Christ Jesus now? Well, we have died in Christ Jesus. When he died that big death on Good Friday, we died with him. And our sin is answered for. And then in Galatians 2:20, where Paul writes these words, and I want to get there and I want to say it correctly, and so if our listeners are turning, they have a little time to get there. In Galatians 2:20, Paul says these words. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Two things on that. What do we have? We've been crucified with Christ. And because we've been crucified with Christ and sin, death, and the devil, those powers have been crushed and they're not our Lord's, we now live by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, it's all faith, gift, faith in the gifts. And then I want to talk more. I go back to 2 Corinthians 5 where Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. This is who you are. So when we talk about Jesus as our reward, in that sense, I'm trying to flesh this out a little bit of who we are. We're new creations. And then there are scripture passages, too. I'll just simply reference some of them, like Romans 3, Romans 5, and Romans 8, and Ephesians 1, and 1 John 2, just to summarize all those, in Christ our sins are forgiven totally and completely. Like in 1 John it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that's the truth. And then I want to read one passage from Ephesians chapter 2. And I hope the circuit breakers just go off, because this is just wonderful. And we all know this by heart. It says that God made us alive with Christ. Who are we? We're alive. But notice it's always with Christ. There's no merit here. We're not trying to get God to owe us something. But we're made alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. Now notice verse 6. This is really wonderful. And God raised us up with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Who are you? Where are you? And this gets back to Judgment Day. When Judgment Day comes, we'll just simply say, well, Jesus died for me. And not only that, in addition to that, it all correlates with this. Well, we've always been with Christ. You see, we died with him. We've been raised with him. And as this Ephesians 2 text says, that we are seated with him in the heavenly realm. So, this whole idea of Judgment Day is something to fear. It's not that at all. Our reward is Christ Jesus, meaning that all's been done. Welcome. So that's why I wanted to come back to that.
Let's go to the phones and to Kansas City, where Mike is listening and patiently waiting. Mike, welcome to Issues, Etc.
It's good to talk to you again. And once again, I would hope that people listening would consider supporting Issues, Etc. It's a fantastic resource. What I wanted to ask you about was in Mark chapter 12, verse 40, it's speaking of those who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. And then in James also, it's a very similar thing, James chapter 3, where it says those who teach will be judged with greater strictness.
That's probably what that other guy was talking about.
Yeah, I think it was. And I wonder if you could help to explain those to me, because the evangelical church has always held that up to say that there are different levels of reward and punishment.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. Let's deal with two things, the passages specifically. But before you do that, you've already hinted at this, but I want to set that clear. Are there different degrees of reward, or will God reward some differently than others?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he will. There will be degrees if you want to talk about that. But again, to keep it in the context, it's not because we've merited it, but because God just freely gives it. Okay, so
okay.
Let's get that straight.
Let's deal with the passage first, the Mark chapter 12, verse 40 passage.
Okay. All right.
Now, he has a passage there where he says that they're going to suffer a greater condemnation because they made a pretense of holiness while at the same time acting in a rather unholy way.
Yeah, and again, we're back to what kind of to use lack of better term, not religion. I don't like that very much. But again, he says, watch out for the teachers of the law in verse 38. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and place of honor at the banquets. What's running the show here? God's going to owe me. And so in that sense, yes. That's why they devour the widows' houses then. They make a show, etc., and they'll be punished very severely. Yeah, exactly. That's part of this whole unbelief. In other words, God will give you what you want if you insist on it. If you insist on God giving you and treating you as according to what you deserve or what you think you deserve, then he will give it to you. So be careful what you want. He may give it to you as your punishment. So that's what's going on here.
And then in James, I think he found the passage that the caller from the last hour had referenced about we who are teachers will be under a stricter judgment, so to speak. Does that necessarily mean that teachers are going to be at Judgment Day somehow punished for how well or how poorly they taught?
Well, that's people can, of course, debate all that. I really haven't given that text very much thought, so that's why that didn't come to my mind when that caller was referencing that. Let me think about that for a minute. Let me come back to that.
All right. I got another passage for you, and this one is kind of the trump card that gets tossed out whenever we talk about eternal rewards, it comes from 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 3, and it begins somewhere in the neighborhood of verse 6. I'm going to read it for you, if you don't mind. And in fact, I'll read it, and when we come back from this break, we'll deal with it. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is our guest. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, and he'll be one of the speakers at this summer's Higher Things Youth Conference. He's author of a Bible study in the Fount magazine titled Our Eternal Rewards in Jesus. We'll take your phone calls after this, and we'll deal with that 1 Corinthians chapter 3 passage with Pastor Brent Kuhlman. Christ Academy is a two-week residential program for high school-aged men on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here's the director of Christ Academy, Brian Gurman.
The students at Christ Academy live in the dorms as a seminarian would. They study under the seminary professors, and they worship in Kramer Chapel. And it is literally taking the seminary experience and getting a good taste of it for those 2 weeks. And what they learn in the classroom, then they experience in Kramer Chapel, as that is really the center of the experience, just as it is throughout the academic year here on campus as well.
At Christ Academy, high school-aged men explore the possibility of someday becoming a pastor. Christ Academy takes place June the 17th through the 30th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Look for the Christ Academy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Response to the new I Have Issues t-shirts has been so positive that we've decided to continue the promotion through the Epiphany season. Now you can get your very own I Have Issues t-shirt by joining our monthly or annual donor program, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, before February 21st. Now on this t-shirt you'll find the statement, I Have Issues, on the back, the Issues Etc. logo, our website address, and the slogan, Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian. Now anyone who joins the Issues Etc. Reformation Club before Ash Wednesday will receive the I Have Issues t-shirt, plus other membership benefits like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. Now for more information on the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. We'll also send an Issues Etc. t-shirt, travel mug, and pen to current Reformation Club members who upgrade their membership. It's the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number as we talk about eternal rewards tonight with Pastor Brent Kuhlman, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We've given our guest a little time to think about James chapter 3, verse 1, James says, look, don't become teachers necessarily, all of you, because there's a stricter judgment that faces the teacher in God's church. Is that necessarily a reference to Judgment Day, or is it simply the fact that teachers will be held accountable for what they teach?
Yeah, I think it's the held accountable. I think it's in connection with the Hebrews 13 text. And if you're teaching, like Rick Warren is, you know, that you can earn these eternal rewards by your obedience or by your really trying hard or whatever it may be, well, okay, then that's what you'll get too. You want to be treated that way? Then you will be.
Now, the passage I was thinking about came from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it has to do with Paul talking about building a foundation and that he began and others finished and things like that. And then he says, let each take care on how he builds upon. A lot of Christians read this as an eternal rewards passage. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done.
Yeah.
If the work that has been built upon the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And that's used as a passage by a lot who say, there you go, it's all about how you work.
Yeah, yeah. And when you read these passages, apart from the entire context of Scripture, as I said earlier, with faith, then you mess this up. This whole idea of doing this work and others building on it, etc., and how it's revealed on the last day, You can't talk a bit about these. Okay, go ahead. Let's back up a minute. Go ahead. Run it the way these people want to run it, as merit. Go right ahead. I invite them to do so. And I invite them to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and say, see, I did what you told me. You owe me. And I can tell them from Scripture, Jesus will tell them, I don't know you people. I don't know who you are. So the entire context of this is that the work is what flows from faith, faith in Christ Jesus. And again, the reward is not something that's owed, but something that is just simply given by God's grace and generosity.
Or call in number 1-800-730-2727 and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. I would add one thing to that, and that is the context, the immediate context, also seems to indicate that what Paul is talking about is about how other teachers would build upon the foundation he has laid in the preaching of Jesus Christ.
And so God not only gives eternal rewards in heaven, but he also gives rewards in this life. And so that touches upon this. Now, I would say, generally speaking, a lot of times God will withhold or defer, if you want to talk that way, most of these eternal rewards until, you know, you die and go to heaven. And I think God is very foxy in this because I think God wants us to be strengthened by, you know, in other words, if you're trying to earn these rewards like Warren wants you to, whether it's in this life or forever, and with him it's the forever thing, then what you lose, I think, is patience and hope and having the old Adam put to death, because you're always hoping but you don't see it yet, you see. But with Warren, man, it's all in the way of what you owe me, so therefore give it to me. But God defers this to help us sometimes, so that we'll trust in him all the more, and that when we receive the rewards, it's all in the way of gift, and we just say, well, thank you. That's wonderful.
I'm thinking about the disciples of Jesus, who at one point come with something of a claim to make before Jesus. They say, look, we've left everything. Look at everything we've given up. Talk about Jesus' response there and what that means in terms of, well, we do lose things for the sake of Christ and the gospel in this life.
Yes, and I believe that they were running this in the way that Rick Warren would be most pleased with. You owe us. I was obedient. We gave up all this stuff for you, Jesus. Now, what are you going to give to us? And he says, just rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Does God promise to, when a Christian suffers loss for the sake of Christ and the gospel, perhaps even to the point of life itself, persecution, does God promise graciously to repay whatever is lost?
Yes, yes. And that's why these passages about rewards are comforting. And you see here again is the difference between how we see this and Rick Warren. With Rick Warren, it's not very comforting because you're under the gun, man. You better be doing it. But God gives this to us as promise to comfort us and to sustain us. And also in another way, Todd, to, I'm trying to think how best to say this, arouse in us a zeal to do these good works that he commands us to do that are a result of faith.
Norm listens in Lincoln, Nebraska, not far from where Pastor Kuhlman is, up there in Murdoch, on KLCV. Norm, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for reading through verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 3. The man who builds with wood, hay, and stubble suffers loss. I wish you'd explain the suffering loss a little further, if you would, please.
All right. Thank you very much, Norman. Thanks for listening in Nebraska.
Well, if you don't build on God's word, there's nothing there. And the gold, et cetera, building on the gold and the real foundation, that's God's word. That's the only thing that lasts.
So what does it mean that the foundation itself is Christ Jesus? And what does Paul mean when he says, no foundation can be laid other than that which was laid, Jesus Christ?
It all flows from him, as what we've talked about before. Jesus is the foundation for everything that we believe and do. He is the one who offered his life as a ransom for us all, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he then is the center. And you think of concentric circles, if you will, instead of that, the building imagery, think of concentric circles. I'm trying to parallel this. And Jesus is the center. And then everything flows from that. All the other circles just flow from that.
You mentioned before that there will be degrees or that God, for his own purposes, will reward some in one way, others in another way. It's so easy for us, Brent, to jump to the conclusion, like I said at the beginning, that God is the big CEO handing out year-end bonuses, and some guys get the corner office with the bevy of secretaries, and other people go to the mailroom.
Yeah. Well, the business analogy, I think, works, but it only goes so far, because the business analogy is all run in the way of merit and what people are owed based upon their performance. But biblically, it's, you know, again, just the opposite. God does, there will be degrees, but it's all in the way of gospel.
I can't help but think of degrees without thinking that if I get there, and just like in this world, if somebody has something I don't, I'm dissatisfied.
Yeah, yeah. Except it won't be that way once you're in heaven.
Why? What will it be?
There will be the perfect love. You remember Paul talks about love in First Corinthians, that love abides, goes on, and there it will be. The jealousy will be gone. You'll rejoice in what the others have. You see, the love. And this is hard for us to think about because as sinners, you know, the old Adam's still hanging around our necks. There's the jealousy and the envy. But that will be gone, and there will be the love for each other. We'll just rejoice in what the Lord has given each one.
Folks, that seems to be part of the appeal of Rick Warren and the other teachers' popular view of eternal rewards, and that is, well, look, if you don't want to be dissatisfied in heaven, if you really want to get that corner office in heaven and be able to look out and be master of all you survey, then get busy now in this life and earn those heavenly rewards. Don't be satisfied with the mailroom job or middle management. You won't be satisfied in heaven if that's all there is for you. Now, they don't come out and say that, but you know the way we're wired to think. It's hard not to come to that conclusion, isn't it? It's a good thing this isn't what Scripture teaches about eternal rewards. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, as we talk with Pastor Brent Kuhlman about eternal rewards, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. If the earliest Christians celebrated the Lord's Supper every Sunday, how is it that many Christians today celebrate the Lord's Supper only once a month, or once every 4 months, or perhaps only once a year? Are many Christians failing to understand what the Lord's Supper is really all about? Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is called The Blessings of Weekly Communion. You can find this book at either of the two Concordia Publishing House bookstores in St. Louis, one at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other in Clayton on the campus of Concordia Seminary. The Blessings of Weekly Communion is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January. Those two locations, on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton or at 3558 South Jefferson in the city. You can also find out more about the Blessings of Weekly Communion at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is our guest. He's authored a Bible study in the Fount magazine titled Our Eternal Rewards in Jesus. You can find this Bible study and an article that I've written titled Purpose Driven or Forgiveness Given under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Our call-in number 1-800-730-2727 or email us issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's go to the phones and we'll talk with Mark in Atlanta. He listens on XM Radio. Hi, Mark.
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you tonight. I appreciate your program. I just wanted y'all to discuss a little bit the passage in Corinthians where Paul talks about the being seen of Christ and how he describes the judgment of two believers that it appears to be. And where one, it's his works are described as hay, wood, and stubble. The other is gold, silver, precious stones. And when he discusses the one with Haywood and Stubble, he even implies that though he'll suffer loss because of his works maybe being counterfeit or a poor motivation, it appears that at the end it even implies that because he was walking in faith, it says that yet though he himself will be saved.
All right, Mark, you've asked a good question. We dealt with this a few minutes ago, and I think we do need to revisit, especially with Mark's question, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 with the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, Pastor Kuhlman.
Well, go back to verse 11. You know, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. The one already laid, and that's Jesus Christ. Everything, see, that's the center. Everything's going to flow from that. And so what's going to withstand the judgment day judgment? Is it going to be a different foundation? Well, I did what you said, Lord. Okay, go ahead. If you want to do that, fine. Be my guest. I think you'll be surprised at the results. Or you stand before God on judgment day and say, I have faith in Christ Jesus. He died for me. That's the foundation. This is the foundation using the gold and the silver and the costly stones. It's Christ Jesus. That's it.
So in other words, one who expects to be rewarded in heaven...
based upon what you do or don't do...
That's wood, hay, and stubble, and that ain't going to last.
That ain't going to make it on Judgment Day. Jesus is going to say, I don't know you people. To put the actions and the words in Jesus' mouth, I think he'll sigh deeply like a lover who's been spurned and just say, I just don't get it with you people. Haven't I taught you anything? It's like Peter... after Jesus talks about forgiveness and forgiveness and forgiveness in Matthew's gospel, and then in Matthew 18, Peter comes up with the question, well, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? You know, as if there's, and I, Jesus, it's as if he'd say, oy vey, don't you get it, Peter? And of course, the answer is, you forgive him all the time, 70 times 7. I think the similar thing here on Judgment Day. It's like, oy vey, I don't get you people. What's your problem?
Mark, stay on hold if you would. I'm going to send you a CD of tonight's program. Ely's calling from Lenexa, Kansas, and she listens on KCCV. Hi, Ely.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention two points the Bible mentioned about works. The first point that works were finally going to be in God's sight, like basically filthy rags, nothing much to boast about. And the second one is in Revelation, when believers are going to be crowned, and basically these are the rewards, but the crowns will be laid at Jesus' feet, which means that they are going to be basically given to Jesus' honor. It's not to be kept.
Ely, two good points. Thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kansas. Your thoughts there, Brent?
Yeah, the Isaiah passage is wonderful. You know, Christians, their good works are like filthy rags because we're sinners. Our good works are only acceptable to God through Christ Jesus, through faith in him. So that's an excellent point, because people do get the impression that the good works that Christians do will merit something from God. And, you know, you get that with Rick Warren.
Okay, that's a very important point to make, because Isaiah says there, our righteousness,
yep,
not our sins are like filthy rags, but our righteousness,
yep,
is like filthy rags.
That's right, all right. The good things that we think we do or don't do, that's right, exactly right.
And
that
then,
puts everything in perspective, and it takes us back again to the Luke 17, unworthy servants.
And then he mentions the book of Revelation, where the crowns that are bestowed upon the saints of God are cast before the feet of Jesus himself.
Yep. It's all gift again. That shows that it's all gift, that what he's given is all from him. It's not due to us.
So I guess, is the picture there, to whom does the honor and the credit, the merit, if you will, belong, even when God rewards his saints in heaven?
Yeah, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul says in Galatians 2, so what I do and what's acceptable before God is Christ living in me. Even what I do, it's Christ's work. That's it. We don't take credit for any of it. The minute you do, you're in deep trouble.
You mentioned among the things that comprise this reward that is the promise of God for his people in Christ as the resurrection from the dead. And we haven't talked about that specifically yet. Speak briefly, if you would, about that.
Well, that's just piggybacking earlier what we were talking about, Jesus as our reward. I mean, this is what we have to look forward to. I mean, in holy baptism, we have died with Christ and we've been raised to live a new life, which is faith in him and love toward our neighbor. But on the last day, Jesus is going to say to us like he said to Lazarus, you know, get up, and we will, and he's going to give us new bodies. And that's explained very well by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 20 to 33 and 35 to 57. And in 1 John chapter 3, John tells us that our bodies will be like our Lord's resurrected bodies. Now, who among us is going to say, earned it? You know, it's like that beer commercial with Burt Reynolds and Jimmy Johnson, you know, where they say, man law. Are we going to say, man law, we earned it? I hope not.
Or the guy on the Soloflex commercial who says, you know, I used to be flabby, but I worked hard, and now look at me.
Yeah, that's not how it's going to be. The resurrection of the body is part of the reward, if you will, understood correctly as gift for Christ's sake. All right? And so also life everlasting. Same thing. And this is why Paul can say to the Colossians in Colossians 3:3, he says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And that's all gift.
The verse is right before that. You have died. Your life is now hidden in God with God.
And that's a whole different way of thinking than I think we have with Rick Warren. See, I think with Rick Warren and the purpose-driven life and this eternal rewards as being merited by our obedience, etc., it's all opposite of what we just heard in Colossians 3, that your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, I think the old Adam in us, you know, we're matrixed this way. We want to see things. We want to see results, not only in eternal life, but now. But now is the life of hearing, and now is the life of faith. It's not the life of seeing. And so our life, we're just content with our lives being hidden with Christ in God. And that has just tremendous comfort to us, that it's all a given. We're taken care of for Christ's sake. And then you're freed. As we mentioned earlier in the program, you are now freed to live not for yourself or not to earn merits before God, whether it's eternal life or eternal rewards in heaven. You are now free to live a life of love to the people who desperately need it in your life and the people that you work with.
Ann calls from St. Louis, and she listens on KSIV. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Pastor, I'm really confused with this parable. I understand that it's all gift, that the three people came along, and he gave them the different talents. And the other two, the first two went back to the Lord and said, you know, I did this and I did that, and he rewards them. But the last poor schmo just comes along and says, okay, I just held on to this. And he gets, like, fire and brimstone.
Yeah.
To me, that's, like, so guilt-inducing. Like, I understand that the Lord gave them these talents, but then at the end there's just such punishment for not doing whatever it was that he wanted them to do with it.
Okay.
How do you keep from going to the guilt?
Okay, you have asked an excellent question, Anne. Thank you very much. All right, Brent, let's see if we can sort this out, because she's reading it, as we've said before,
yep,
the way most Christians read that parable.
Well, I think we need to again, what are the talents? It's Christ. What are you going to do with Christ? Keep the context of Matthew 25. We're getting right to Holy Week when Jesus is going to suffer and die. And so the talents are Christ, if you will. What are you going to do with Jesus? You going to believe in him and trust in him? See, this is the point of the parable. So the guy who won't do anything with the talent that he's given, with the Christ that he's given, the one who's going to suffer and die and rise again, he just can't take a chance on believing in that kind of a Christ. And that's why you have then the consequences that are spoken of at the end of the parable.
And if you'll notice, Anne, the third guy in the parable, he says to his master, well, I knew you were a hard man, that you really weren't fair, and that you're basically a bad master, and so I played it safe, and I didn't do anything with that which you gave me, and here it is. Here it is back, just what you gave me. And just as Brent has said several times in our hour here, what he wanted was a kind of master who would simply a hard man. And guess what? That's the kind of master he got. He got the hardest master you could have. The others, they trusted their master, and they trusted in his generosity and his mercy. And guess what they got? They got a generous master who rewarded them above and beyond, far more than they ever deserved, who rewarded them purely out of his mercy and his grace. It has everything to do with faith and unbelief. Notice it's not about degrees of rewards given to all three of these guys. It's about two men who trusted their master and one man who didn't. It's a parable about faith and unbelief. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes on eternal rewards with Pastor Brent Kuhlman.
Well, I'm glad Jesus didn't feel that way about you.
Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, responding to the idea that the AIDS crisis is self-inflicted and Christians need not respond in love.
Look, you reap what you sow. You're a sinner. You're damned to hell. Go rot. That's not Jesus. And the Bible doesn't tell us, Jesus says, you made your bed, now lie in it. I'm not going to help. So it's an impossible response for a Christian, even though we know that actions have consequences. But consequences, those consequences don't kill mercy and don't kill a proclamation of the law in order to bring the gospel.
Find LCMS World Relief at our homepage, issuesetc.org, Christ-centered, cross-focused, love for the neighbor.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Has your pastor ever accused you of being an adulterer, a murderer, or a thief? If not, he's not doing his job. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the next Issues, Etc. journal called The Law's Accusations, and we'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. Can you have the sweetness of the gospel without the sternness of God's holy law? Find out with the Issues, Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Chris Rosebro's journey from the man-made holiness of the Nazarene Church to the Christ-given holiness of the Reformation, 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues, Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues, Etc. Journal, 1-800-737-0172. Ask for a free complimentary copy of the Issues, Etc. Journal.
Well, thanks very much to Ann, who called before the break. If you'd stay on the line, Ann, we're going to send you a free CD of tonight's program. We're talking about eternal rewards. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is our guest. He's going to be one of the main speakers at this summer's Higher Things Youth Conference. Now, this conference is a must for high school-aged youth. It's called For You, and I think that just about says it all. Pastor Kuhlman, in anticipation of that conference, what is this theme, For You, really all about?
It's about Jesus, what he's done for you. He's lived, and he's died, and he's risen and ascended for you, and that he has gifts for you that deliver what he won for you on the cross. And he gives you holy baptism. It's for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, as the blessed Apostle Peter says in Acts 2. He says, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. His body and his blood given in the Lord's Supper for you. It's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And as we've all learned in the small catechism, that where there's forgiveness of sins, there is life and there's salvation. That kind of fits in with our theme tonight too, Todd, about rewards, you know. It's all given. And notice, life now and salvation through the forgiveness of sins. So the conference, looking forward to it, because it's going to confess and teach and proclaim Christ Jesus, who is not just an example, you know, like written in the Warren book, you know, where Christ is not necessarily mostly Savior, he's mostly example to follow, so you'd better get after it and follow his example. But rather, the conference will extol Jesus Christ as Savior, because he's the only one. You aren't. He is. It's like when John the Baptist was asked, are you the Christ? And he says, no, I'm not the Christ. And then he points everybody to Jesus. And that's what this conference is going to be all about. We're going to point the kids to Christ, who is for you.
That's the reason, folks, why you should consider sending your kids or your grandkids to this Higher Things Youth Conference called For You. It's going to be in Asheville, North Carolina. The dates, July the 31st through August the 3rd. This summer, for more information, go to higherthings.org. It's all one word, higherthings.org. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Rick in Mountain View, California. He listens on KFAX. Rick, welcome.
Welcome. My view of our good works as Christians is it's actually Jesus working through us, and he's the doer, and everything should be to his glory. Now, of course, my flesh can often get in the way, but even in that, since he's sovereign, ultimately he will make it work to his plan.
All right, Rick, thank you very much for the call and for the comment. Pastor Kuhlman, what do you make of it?
Well, you have what Paul says in Galatians 20. That I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That throws out all the good works done as reward. It's Christ doing his work through us in the world. For example, a mother and a father. How is it that Christ lives through us as a mother and father? That Christ gets his job done of taking care of kids through the mom and dad. So I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He does his work of taking care of kids. This is just one example. He does that through me. The parents are his hands and his mouth to take care of children. So the good works we do, he's right on. It's Christ doing it,
but still
to serve others, not to earn a reward.
So someone says, my good works are Christ working through me, but he still says, I mean, I think Rick Warren would probably say, that good works are really Christ acting in us, and yet he still teaches that Christians do their good works to earn their rewards.
And see, that's the whole problem. And that it's almost that he does this at the expense of Christ himself, and that's where you really get into trouble. I mean, we should extol these good works. These should be extolled. God commands us to do them, and we should expect them. They should be fruits. You know, they're fruits of our faith in Christ and fruits of our baptism. But we shouldn't teach people that they're merited.
Margaret listens in Bellevue, Washington on KGNW. Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
My comment is that he doesn't owe us anything because the Bible teaches he doesn't need anything to begin with. And therefore, everything is from his mercy and grace.
Thank you, Margaret. Appreciate the call. Pastor Kuhlman.
Oh, she's right on. It's what I said earlier. God doesn't need our love. He doesn't need our good works. Our neighbor does. My children need my good works. That's precisely the point.
And you don't need your good works.
No, but my neighbor does.
I guess this is really the bottom line here, and that is if I think God needs my good works, or that I need them for any reason, then if I'm doing them for that reason, they're not going to be good works.
Because then it's not done from faith. And then if it's not done from faith, then it's what? It's sin.
What about someone who says, well, what about doing good works out of gratitude, a way of saying thank you to God?
Yeah, if you understand it in the way of fruit. Absolutely. No problem. Go ahead. And the thankfulness is part of that fruit. You know, prayer, thanksgiving, the confession of the gospel, which we've been doing in this program, and the teaching of the gospel, and obedience to our parents and other authorities, and when we're faithful in our callings, and when we live peaceful lives, yeah, that's all a fruit of faith, and it's all good works, but it doesn't merit you a bloody thing with God.
You said near the beginning of our conversation that the popular view of good works today, as purveyed by Warren and so many others, is in fact a very medieval, very Roman Catholic way of understanding good works and heavenly rewards. What did you mean by that?
Well, it's that God should give me what I deserve. In the medieval church, people were taught, do what is in you. Do the best that you can that's in you. I mean, God gets you started along the way. He gives you a shot of grace. But then you need to do the best that's in you, and God will reward you accordingly. And they not only applied that to the eternal rewards we're talking about here, but also eternal life, salvation. And this is where Rick Warren is very, very similar when we talk about eternal rewards being merited. It is a very medieval, a very Roman Catholic way of thinking. It's a pagan way of thinking. I mean, ask all your unbelieving friends, and that's how they think, whoever their God is. They're always trying to rub him down and earn something from him.
Then with only 30 seconds, how does Scripture teach regarding eternal rewards?
All right. Two ways. That's where we started at the beginning. The first way is eternal life. You can speak of eternal life as a reward only in this sense, that it is gift for Christ's sake alone. Okay? The second thing is eternal rewards that God gives to believers. And they're not merited, but they are given simply, graciously, for Christ's sake. And God gives these rewards both in time and in eternity. And we'll leave that up to him on his giving.
1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues, Etc. journal. Or you can also use that number to join our monthly or annual donor program, The Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. Now, anyone who joins in the next 4 weeks, the Epiphany season, will receive the new I Have Issues t-shirt. 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us. The address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Pastor Brent Kuhlman is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. He'll be one of the main speakers this summer at a Higher Things Youth Conference, and he's author of a Bible study in Fount Magazine titled Our Eternal Rewards in Jesus. Brent, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you so much. Peace be with you, Todd.
And with you.
Amen.
This is a teaching of Scripture that is intended for our comfort. Eternal rewards. That God would be so gracious as to not only grant us eternal life and salvation solely because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, but that also solely because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, taking our place here in this world to live a perfect life where we lived a life full of sin, to bear our sin in his body at the cross, to give his life as a ransom for us all, to rise again for us. That God would not only save us because of what Jesus has done for us sinners, but that he would actually reward us. That the rewards that await us in heaven, the crowns that Paul talks about, this crown that he knows is waiting for him. How does he know it's waiting for him? How can he be so certain that there is a crown of righteousness being stored up for him in heaven? Could he possibly be so sure because he's been keeping his journal of all the good things he's been doing to earn that crown? Read St. Paul. This is a man who doesn't understand himself as an earner of rewards, but as the chief of sinners, the one who needs God's mercy, the one whom God owes nothing. No, St. Paul is certain that there's a crown of righteousness waiting for him in heaven because he's certain that that righteousness is not his own, but that of Jesus Christ alone. That is the certainty of heavenly rewards. Jesus Christ, crucified for sinners. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.